Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me, and wanted to thank Janet and Nancy as well for working with me on preparing this talk. I'm going to be talking about the work that reconnects, and Joanna Macy is the root teacher for a lot of the ideas that underpin this work, so I wanted to acknowledge her before I began. Joanna Macy is a scholar of Buddhism, systems thinking and deep ecology. She is a respected voice in movements for peace, justice and ecology. And she interweaves her scholarship with learning from 5 decades of activism. The root teacher of the work that reconnects, she has created a groundbreaking theoretical framework for personal and social change, as well as a powerful workshop methodology for its application. So this talk will be a very brief overview of some of the concepts that the work that reconnects dives deeply into. I hope it will give you enough to chew on, but there are opportunities to go much deeper with these ideas if you wish to. So I wanted to start by sharing, if you hadn't already heard this, that the meaning of the word compassion. It's from the old French compassio, which is from ecclesiastical Latin compati, and it means to suffer with. Even if we didn't already know this intellectually, I think it's fair to say that most of us know it in our hearts, that when we open to compassion for others, and for our home place, the earth, we can experience compassion as a kind of suffering. And so this begs the question, when we live in these times where there seems to be so much suffering, how might we keep our hearts open? How can we be compassionate or continue to care without completely burning out? So my hope is to point to some answers to that question in this talk today, and to do that by drawing on some of the principles I've learned from the work that reconnects. In the work that reconnects, we use the model of a spiral to describe a natural process that relates to this question of how to be with a world in turmoil. We always start by coming from a place of gratitude. Excuse me. Where we can remember what we love and what we're fighting for. So here's how Joanna talks about gratitude. We have received an inestimable gift to be alive in this beautiful self-organizing universe, to participate in the dance of life with senses to perceive it, lungs that breathe it, organs that draw nourishment from it. It's a wonder beyond words. And it is, moreover, an extraordinary privilege to be accorded a human life with its self-reflexive consciousness that brings awareness of our own actions and the ability to take choice. So I wanted to invite all of you to take some time for yourselves to do this now. Think about a person or a place that you feel deeply grateful for. Think about what it is that you appreciate. Think about all the things that you appreciate. Think about how you experience that gratitude in your own body, where it lives. You can close your eyes if it helps. You may notice when we think about the things we're grateful for, it opens us. It has the power to open our hearts. Not only does it open our hearts, but it fills our hearts up as if we're reclaiming and inviting into our hearts the things that bring us joy. This is a very resourcing place to be. Now, if our work in the world has to do with being of service, it's helpful to come back here often. And there are some other related things about gratitude that I wanted to note. As David Steindl-Rast, a Benedictine monk, has said, even amongst difficult times, there is the opportunity to be grateful. He says that in order for gratitude to arise, there must be something of value and it must be freely given. Every moment in our lives is a given moment. And every moment is valuable because life is inherently valuable. So the opportunity to feel gratitude is always here, even amidst difficulty. Also, we can understand gratitude as a way of moving into the present moment. When we can be in this moment, considering and acknowledging the blessings of our lives, we are more present to life generally. It centers us and it grounds us in this way. So, for example, if we stop and open to the gratitude we might feel for the warm cleansing water coming out of the shower in the morning, we're all of a sudden in the shower, enjoying the warm water, rather than being several steps ahead thinking about how our day might unfold. Gratitude is also subversive when we consider that our own culture in North America is so materialistic and focused on what we might obtain. Gratitude is about what we already have. It's about the blessings that are already bestowed upon us. So it's really powerful stuff, and cultivating it can support us in our good work in the world and in being more present and open to the people and the things that we care about. It's also true, and some of you may have even touched into this already, that as we invite gratitude into our hearts, we can open the door to something else, and that's the grief we feel about what's happening to our world. Maybe something comes immediately to mind when I speak of that, as if it was there waiting to be seen. This is the next stage of the spiral, and we call it our pain for the world. This pain can sometimes feel unbearable, and it's easy, and in some ways it's instinctual, for us to close our hearts to it because we believe it's too hard to be with. Maybe we think it will overwhelm us. Maybe we believe it will go on forever. Maybe we are afraid that we will not be able to function in our daily lives if we allow it to be here. Whatever the reasons, what commonly happens is that we arrest it. By being unwilling to feel these feelings, however, the pain that comes from our compassionate hearts, it affects our responsibility, our ability to truly respond. It might be interesting to note here that the word apathy comes from the Greek apatheia, which means to not suffer. There seems in our culture to be an aversion to expressing this pain, as if feeling it is a weakness or a pathology, or expressing it as a burden that we would not want to share with others for fear of adding to their load. But pain is actually part of a feedback loop. Human beings are connected to every other part of this world. And by virtue of our interconnectedness, when there is suffering in the world, we feel pain. Just like when we hold a hand to a flame, the pain in our body will tell us to move our hand. This pain for the world lets us know something needs to be addressed. We can behave as though this experience is personal, as if sharing it would be a burden to others. I've been doing this work for long enough now to recognize that this suffering is already here in us, and that it's a shared suffering that arises out of our human experience. Even when pain is more personal, it's still a common experience. An example of this would be losing a loved one, a deeply personal experience that many of us will feel at some point in our lifetime. Pain teaches us about our connection to each other and to our world. When we feel it, we can compassionately say to ourselves, others feel this too. this compassionate response to pain shifts it from an experience that isolates us to an experience that can connect us. I want to offer another related perspective on this pain, because when we can see it differently, it might not be quite so intimidating. This pain that we feel is born out of love. We only grieve for what we love. If we are grieving, this speaks to our capacity to love, and that is beautiful. A teacher recently told me that grief is the transition from something being in our lives to something being in our hearts. With that comes the opportunity to allow what we love to live on in us, to keep it alive as a way of honoring it and the ways it has enriched us and our human experience. There's a quote by Khalil Gibran that speaks to this understanding of pain as a teacher. He says, "Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so you must know pain. And could your heart keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem any less wondrous than your joy." So when we close our hearts to avoid this pain, we are also closing our hearts to the very thing that resources us in these difficult times, and that is love and the shared sense of belonging and connectedness. If we can let our hearts be open and let the pain move through us, we will arrive at the next phase of the spiral, which we call seeing with new eyes. The more deeply we can understand and embody this concept of seeing with new eyes, the more resourced we will be. Seeing with new eyes entails a shift from this isolated individual self that feels pain and shuts itself off to avoid it, to a more ecological self that can recognize what it is to be part of a wider web of life. So I'm going to spend the rest of this talk diving into that. Science is showing us what many indigenous, Eastern, and mystical traditions have been saying for thousands of years, that we are not isolated elements, but rather a dance of movement and energy and light. We are formed by and exist in relationship. Ghost Horse, a Lakota elder, talked about how his indigenous language is almost exclusively verb-based. They understand that life is about relationship. In the English language, we use nouns a lot more, and with this comes the vision of a world that's much more objectifying. When we start to really integrate this idea that we are in relationship with the world, it can open our minds and hearts in profound ways. So I want to take you through a brief meditation to illustrate this idea of interconnection. So if you're comfortable doing so, you can close your eyes. You can also just lower your gaze. So as you sit here, bring attention to your breathing. Your body is sorting the molecules from the air and using the oxygen to stir your cells awake. As you breathe in, fill up your lungs and consider the vast network of ventricles in your lungs that carry the oxygen from the air down smaller and smaller channels until it attaches to your blood cells and gets carried around your body. Consider the elements your body doesn't need. They are sent back out into the air, and some of them will be used by plants in their own energy production. You can put your hand on your heart and feel your heartbeat. and know that this is the movement of your heart pushing blood around your body, delivering that oxygen wherever it's needed. And that blood also carries energy that started out as food from vegetables, fruit, maybe animals, grain. As that moves around your body to the beat of your heart, consider how your body is also made of the farmers who worked hard to grow the grain, the sunshine that fed the vegetables, the water from the rain, and the rivers that made the fruit ripe. All of these things that started off outside your body have moved inside of you, nourishing you and sustaining you, building new cells as you grow and change and heal. In you too is the genetic information going back thousands of generations, as your ancestors have given you the color of your skin, your facial features. These were gifts from past generations. They speak to your belonging and to your relationship to the entire web of life. Imagine each breath as a single thread that weaves in and out of you. How it might extend out from your personal space into the collective space. Imagine the threads of those around you and how the threads weave together in this room and out beyond this room and through the days, months and years you have been alive. Even back before you were born, how this breath was given to you through your mother and she through her mother, and so on. This web is vast. It crosses the earth. It goes back through time and will continue weaving itself out into the future. So just sit with this breath for a few moments. Notice how little effort is required. One might say it's as if life is breathing you. So you can open your eyes if you'd like. When we consider compassion in the context of this larger web that we belong to, it changes everything. All compassion is self-compassion. When we care for the trees and help them stay healthy, we're supporting our own life support system. When we take time to rest our bodies, we are supporting the immune system of the planet. If we take the example of the beehive, we can see how well this works. Every bee, even the queen, works in service to the good of the whole. They get the nourishment they need, honey and pollen, from their collective work. On their own, a bee will produce about a tenth of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. But together, within a year, the hive can make several pounds. They take care of each other and they rest when they need to. Without the hive, any one of the bees would die. The bees are neither selfless nor selfish. They work together because they need each other. And they demonstrate the impulse of life to flow forward and proliferate. In staying alive, they nourish so much around them, pollinating food that feeds countless other species and making the world more beautiful and colorful as they do it through their interdependence with flowers. We have a responsibility to care for and be compassionate towards ourselves so that we can continue to make a contribution to the world. But we also have a responsibility to that because we are an inherently beautiful part of it. We are a unique manifestation of life that will never be recreated, and there's a sacredness to that. In closing, I would like to say that compassion is a kind of medicine for the world. It speaks to the relational truth of who we are, and we need that now, more than ever. If your compassion is leaving you tired and burned out, remember what you belong to, how you are connected to every living thing and beyond. Let your breath remind you of the web that you are woven into, that resources you, and that sustains you. You truly are never alone. Ask the river to teach you about flow. Ask the trees to teach you about presence. Ask the otters to teach you about play. You are part of a family that extends far beyond this human family. And caring for yourself is a way of deeply honoring that. I'm going to close with some words from Joanna Macy. She repeats often. She says, "Your heart is not an object that can break, but if it could, it could hold the whole world." Thank you.